I don't know about y'all, but I'm good. It's good to see Thalen in the house today.
Yes.
It's good to see David in the house today and Clinton in the house today. It's good to see all of you in the house today.
Yes.
And Janice, everybody. Good to see Mark again. Now to the part you've all been waiting for. Did you all fill your bellies full of Thanksgiving goodness? Everybody gorge themselves?
No.
You avoided looking sideways in the mirror, right? Okay. Men, did you loosen the belt? Did you have to loosen the belt? Yeah.
I could see that pumpkin pie
protruding
out.
Yeah, unfortunately. One comedian said, the Thanksgiving meal is not over when I'm full. It's over when I thoroughly hate myself. Thought that was funny. I had to share it with you. It's a time of year that we truly, most of us, if not all of us, do give thanks, and it's a good time of year. And everybody has different things to be thankful for, but I would suggest to you everybody has something to be thankful for. And if we were to pay close attention, we probably have a lot more than we realize to be thankful for. Many of us... Last year we talked about the history of Thanksgiving, and while that was, you know, interesting, and for me it's interesting because it's usually stuff I didn't know before. And this year we're going to talk about something that I think we missed in scriptural Thanksgiving. You know, and obviously the holiday is Thanksgiving, but it's giving thanks. And scripturally, I saw something this year that I didn't recognize before. And I hope that that maybe... it'll open your eyes as well. It's going to be a short message because at the end I want to ask some people to give a testimony. If you have a testimony about thanks, if you have a testimony about family, testimony about a new appreciation you have, sometimes our testimonies are better than the message. So be thinking about that if you want to share. Sometimes we don't give thanks or we struggle with it because it's a lack of perspective. It's a lack of understanding and a lack of perspective. And perspective just means it's different. The same thing is different for two different groups of people, right? You know, and the best way to illustrate that is this time of year, you hear thousands of people say Happy Thanksgiving. Words you will never hear any turkey say, right? Happy Thanksgiving. But it's perspective. We have to understand. We're all different sizes in here. We're all different shapes. And I would suggest to you that none of us are starving to death. None of us go without meals unless we're choosing to fast. We all have it very good. None of us have to walk to fellowship, pretty sure. None of us live in a tent, except maybe Sukkot. And we actually have a very, very good life, not only compared to the rest of the world, but compared to the way the United States was even 50 years ago. So we all have lots of things to be thankful for, but often the blessings sometimes jade our view on what we give thanks to. And by that, I mean we get so spoiled that we don't see and recognize the smaller blessings that happen every single day. Could our abundance be a possible curse in disguise, at least at times, right? And by that, it simply means this. We are so blessed and we have so much that we don't recognize all the little things that the Father does for us to ensure that we are well taken care of. We're always looking for what the next door neighbor has or what our fellow messianic brother who has more than us has. Instead of just being grateful for what we have. Deuteronomy 8 is a perfect example of why God wants us to keep focus on Him. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you remember what it is. It's a warning. Is there going into the land? When you come to the land, don't forget who it is who's given you the ability to gain wealth. When you're living in houses you didn't build, when you're reaping from the vineyards you did not plant, when all these good things are happening to you, he summarizes in verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. So the Father is warning them through Moses, remember who it is who is taking care of you. It's the Creator. And this was inspired for a reason. I believe that the Israelites at that day and time were very similar to us now, stiff-necked and stubborn in our hearts many times. Could it be that the blessings of God too often distract us for thanking the very God that gave us those blessings? And one of the ways we can avoid falling into that trap is to be a man or a woman of constant praise, worship, and thanksgiving to the Father. See, often people don't see the same thing differently. Perspective again. Remember our love and respect seminar? A lot of men really got, you know, their eyes opened on that. Love and respect. I don't have anything to wear means something different to the women and the men. We all talked about it. I'm not going to regurgitate the same joke. But the same words mean something different to men and to women. What one considers an awesome blessing, some may not appreciate at all. And often marriage could fit that bill. Today, I see marriage as a huge blessing. I'm very, very happy in my marriage, and I'm very blessed. But many people don't view it that way. And many people don't act as if that's the case. When little children were asked a question, how do you decide who to marry? The best answer, in my opinion, was given by a girl named Kirsten at age 10. And she wrote this: no person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all way before. And you get to find out later who you're stuck with. Little Kirsten. But the scriptures say he who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor from the Jehovah. So see, I've realized that today. I didn't always feel that way. So are you all thankful that you have a wife? All the men who are blessed? Okay. They need to hear that more than once a year, right? Do you ever get tired of me telling you I love you?
Never.
Okay. Does any woman in here get tired of being told that they're loved, appreciated, cared for? Okay. Do you think the Father ever gets tired? I think he wants to hear it just as often as our spouses do. And you could flip the tables too. Men may not need the same words, but we need affirmation. I think our Father is pleased in heaven when we thank him on a regular basis, and that's what Thanksgiving should be all about. Are you thankful for your spouse in all circumstances? Because if we read the scriptures, we're going to find out here in a little while that we're supposed to count joy and thanksgiving in all circumstances. 8-year-old Derek was asked, how do you know if two people together are married? He says, that's easy. If they yell at each other, they're married. See, we have to learn to be thankful on a regular basis. When we examine the scriptures, we will see some things about Thanksgiving that I know I never saw before, and hopefully you didn't see before. For example, do you realize that the Bible often connects Thanksgiving or joy, which often they go hand in hand, with trials, sorrow, and affliction? Okay. Now, it's easy to give thanks when you just landed a contract for $50,000 and you're able to do something that you've been wanting to do, or do an addition to your house, or buy a new car. That's easy to give thanks. But what about when you're in a prison cell having just been beaten? And these guys were singing and joyful. James says, count it all joy when you face trials and tribulations. Yeshua himself said, count it all joy when people persecute you and revile you for my name's sake. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, as in sorrow, yet always rejoicing. In chapter 7, one chapter later, he says, he was afflicted, yet he was overflowing with joy. And Hebrews 12:2 says, Yeshua, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame. So you see, thanksgiving or joy is not predicated upon everything being great. It's not predicated upon you being on the mountain, you know, and I'm the king of the world. It's predicated on you having a heart and an attitude of praise and worship all the time. So here's the twist in today's message. We all know we need to be thankful when we get things, when God gives us things. But are you aware that you are supposed to be thankful even when things are not going well? Even when you're in the valley? Even when you're facing trials and tribulations? Because I got to be honest with you, scripturally, I didn't really see it until I started reading some of these verses. So I'm going to read a few to you that will just clearly outline what I just said. First Chronicles, and I want you to pay attention to these three verses I'm going to read and see if you notice something that kind of joins them together and something that's missing maybe from these three. First Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good. His love endures forever." Psalms 107:8-9 says, "Let them give thanks to Jehovah for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." And Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua." So do any of those scriptures have anything to do with our blessings, material wealth, or things that we have? Absolutely not. But yet we grew up in a culture that always thanked when we got stuff. We thanked when we were given things. We were thanked when we opened up presents. We would give thanks when people would do nice things for us. The Bible teaches we're supposed to be thankful in all things. Yet very few people learned that growing up. All those verses have to do with giving thanks just because he is God. His love endures forever, his mercy. We don't have to have a reason. The reason is because he smiled upon you and he loves you. An event doesn't have to happen in your life. You just have to have the knowledge that he loves you and he cares about you. It should be predicated on the knowledge he is king, and he is your king and my king. He loves us and he provided everything we need to have full redemption and restoration to him in the end. So should we be thankful for the blessings and when they are material things? Of course we should. But it doesn't mean that it should be predicated on those things. Thankfulness should not start with the blessings and the material things. It should start with our hearts long before they ever arrive. Thankfulness needs to be a way of life, especially for believers. Let me ask you a question. Did the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, did they have anything to be thankful for? You could sit down and how many times have you in your prayer time said, "Wow, if I could have just seen a fraction of what they saw," right? Everything that happened in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, you know, food falling out of the sky, everything. I mean, they had something to be thankful for, but yet they weren't thankful people by and large. The vast majority ended up fertilizer in the desert. They had a heart of stubbornness. They had a heart of wickedness. In fact, they were lovers of self, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, hard-hearted, unforgiving, backbiting, no self-control, brutal, hating what is good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sound familiar? 2 Timothy. That's one answer, and that would be correct. I give you another answer. Sounds like us at one time. Sounds like me at one time. You see, we're not born with a heart that inherently knows to be thankful. We have to be taught. And most of us really aren't taught until we come to know the Word of God. And this is why we have to know the Word of God inside and out. Thalen, when somebody tells you you're less than you are, you have to know what the Word of God says about you. When Clinton and David are seeking healing, they have to know what the Word of God says about it. When we come to one another, that's why it's so important for us to be together and encourage one another. But we have to know what the Word of God says about us. We need to learn to become thankful without a visible reason to be thankful. Without a logically worldly expectation of why you would be thankful. Because if we're going to give them something that they don't have, they have to see something in us that is not in them. Does that make sense? If we're just thankful when we get things, well, you know, everybody does that. I'm sure that, you know, Hindus and Muslims are all thankful when they get things. We need to be a people that are different, set apart, called out. And this is just one area we need to be called out. Is God in control of all situations? Do you really believe that with all your heart? See, too often maybe we're looking for a sign. We're looking for a sign in order to be thankful. And we all know what it says about looking for a sign, but one man said a few years back, he goes, if I could just see a miracle, just one miracle, if I could see a burning bush, if I could see the parting of the sea, if I could see my uncle paying a check, one miracle, then I would believe. See, too often we're looking for things that we don't need to be looking for. We just need to be thankful. God has a purpose in everything we go through, and it's usually to humble us, to teach us, and to perfect us. So rather than fighting it, being angry with it, why don't we try being thankful? Say, Father, let me humble myself. Let me learn what you're trying to teach me quickly so that you can remove this from me, and I can go on and be someone better and stronger than I was before. We know for a fact that God says all things work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. So my question to you is, do you believe that in the bottom of your heart? So let's determine, if you're willing, let's determine to do a better job in the coming year on learning to be thankful in all things. And I know I have some work to do. I'm not just telling you what you need to do. I think we all could admit to ourselves, can we? We all have a little bit better job to do of being thankful, being a little less rebellious, a little less complaining, and just focus on the good things that God has done for us. I'm going to close with 1 Chronicles again. We read it earlier, but this is a different set of verses. It's 1 Chronicles 16, 23 through 26. And it says, sing to Jehovah, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is Jehovah and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are just idols. But Jehovah made the heavens. See, this is why we praise him and we give him thanks. Not because he did something for us, just the fact that he is the creator and he deserves our thanksgiving. He is a great God, and he has actually looked down upon each one of you and he said, I want you to spend eternity with me. How awesome a God is that? He looked past my past, pardon the pun, he looked past that and said, I still want to spend eternity with you. And he said that to each and every one of you in this room. He created the earth. He created us. He provided redemption and restoration for each one of us. And if that's not something that can cause you to give thanks, then I don't know where to go. Because if you can't learn to see the thankfulness needed for that, everything else is going to be immaterial. And I want to suggest to you this as we close. It's the giving of thanks that brings joy. You don't wait till you get joy to give thanks. It has to be that order because that's the way God orchestrated it. See, we've got it all backward. And I'll tell you a good example of why we can prove that it's backwards. How many wealthy people do you know that don't really have joy? Now, they may find some pleasures here and there in this world, but very few of them have true joy. Because all those things are never going to bring you joy. You have to be a thankful person. You have to have a thankful heart in order to get the joy that comes only from God. See, earthly things will never bring you joy. But if you trust in the Father and you truly give your heart to him and give him thanks for what he is due, the joy will come. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, we give you thanks on this Thanksgiving weekend. And most of all, we just thank you because you are who you are, Father. It's just such a joy to read your word and to realize that no matter how long we study it, no matter how many years, how many times we read it, you will still show us things new and afresh each and every time we set our heart to learn your ways. Father, right now I just pray for each and every person in this room and for myself especially. Teach me to do a better job this coming year, to be thankful in all things, in all circumstances, in all places. And let me just focus on you and the goodness of your mercy and your love. Father, I pray that you would also create a bonding amongst the different people in this room, that we can lean on each other, support one another, and strengthen one another in you. And I look forward to hearing the testimonies in a few minutes, Father, but I pray you would stir the hearts of those people who need to share a testimony, not because they want to do it necessarily, but because somebody needs to hear it. Stir their hearts that they may share something that you've done in their life that they need to give thanks for. Yivarekaka Yehovah v'yishmerekah. Yair Yehovah b'navalecha v'yihunekah. Yisa Yehovah b'navalecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace. Shem Yeshua. Amen and amen. So, who would like to open with a testimony? Thalen, start us off. You can come up here. Of course you can. Come on up.
So, a couple weeks ago, I come home from work, and I'm told that I have to leave. And I got in an altercation with my father,